It's time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92. Every Tuesday at this time, we get together with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian nutritionist here in Madison, and talk about your health and nutrition and all of that kind of good stuff. And Amber, how are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Well, pretty good. We're going to talk a little bit about immune supplements today.
You got it.
Well, let's do it.
Absolutely. So this time of year, everybody starts to get worried about cold and flu season, especially if you've got kiddos. I can't tell you how many different things we've brought home on top of the regulars. There's parainfluenza and RSV and everything else.
A lot of letters of the alphabet. Chuck.
There's a lot of letters out there that you can introduce into your immune system. So a lot of people try to counter that by taking supplements. So I thought we could hit on a few of kind of the primary ones, the ones that people get most often. But before we do that, I think it's important to remember that the best thing you can do for your immune system is eat well.
And have good gut health.
And have good gut health with?
Chickpeas.
Yeah,
I always got to work those in there. So.
Absolutely. Chickpeas, all of those good sources of fiber, good sources of protein, all of the colorful fruits and vegetables, good healthy fats. You can't out-supplement a bad diet. I'll say it 1,000 times. You can take all of those immune supplements in the world, but if you're eating lots of processed foods, lots of sugar, eating out all the time, they're not going to make a huge difference because your body is not being fueled in the way it does. There's no evidence to show us that those ultra-processed foods will help your immune system. So if we're talking immunity in particular, a good diet is the best thing you can do.
Okay. But.
But.
We're going to talk about supplements for that good diet.
That's right. So on top of that, there's a few different things that people tend to buy pretty frequently. One of the probably most common supplements that people get when it comes to immune health is vitamin C. So there's all sorts of things out there. There's pills, there's powders, there's drinks that all focus on vitamin C as their kind of primary active vitamin to support immune health. Loads of research to show us that vitamin C is important for our immune system to have. So as from an evidence standpoint, it's certainly there for vitamin C to be helpful. Now, that being said, vitamin C is water soluble, which means that if you take in more than what your body needs, you're going to excrete it. So if you are taking in around 200 milligrams a day, up to even 500 milligrams a day, you're probably getting quite a bit of what you're taking in. Maybe 70 to 90% is kind of what the research indicates. But if you're taking those supplements that are over 1,000 milligrams at one time, you're absorbing less than 50% of it for most people, which means that you're really just wasting your money at that point if you're paying more for a supplement because it has more vitamin C. So you don't have to do those mega doses of it. If anything, doing it a couple different times per day instead could be beneficial, lower doses a couple times per day. But even though vitamin C feels pretty kind of benign as far as supplements go, there are still contraindications. There are people who shouldn't take it, certain medications that don't work well with vitamin C. So again, even if it's just vitamin C, make sure your care team knows. They can put it into the computer, they can talk to the pharmacist, make sure it doesn't interact with anything that you're taking or any conditions that you have.
Okay.
So vitamin C, useful, usually pretty inexpensive, but you don't need those mega doses of it probably.
Okay. So moderation like always.
Like everything, right? Vitamin D is another one that has loads of research on it. We know that there's probably an association with the immune system, especially as we've seen some research on COVID come in with vitamin D. The evidence is mixed. Not all studies are the same quality. So just because we see a news story about what a study found or didn't find, it doesn't mean that that's kind of the end all be all of what it is. Research is hard to do when it comes to nutrients. So one thing to consider is that a lot of us are just deficient in vitamin D. We live in a state that has less sunlight for a good chunk of the year. We don't spend a lot of time outside necessarily in the winter. So a lot of people in the Northern Hemisphere in general, but especially upper Midwesterners, those of us who don't get outside a lot, might need some vitamin D support. And that's something that your primary care provider would probably check if you ask them to, if they're not doing it already. It is correlated with a lot of things beyond immunity, even food allergies. Now they're looking at the risk of food allergies being higher when maternal intake or maternal vitamin D status is lower. So not research to show that vitamin D is going to hurt your immunity. So again, another one that might be beneficial. As far as how much you need, this one is fat soluble. That means that your body is not going to get rid of any extra. So it's unlikely that you'd become toxic in vitamin D, but still important to take appropriate amounts. So how much you're going to take kind of depends on what type you're taking. A lot of what's over-the-counter is vitamin D3. That's the active form, the type that your body can just take in and use. Usually the recommended dose is somewhere between 1,000 and 4,000 IUs per day, but definitely talk to your provider because that would be based on what your current vitamin D status is. And also remember that a lot of multivitamins will contain vitamin D, or there might be combination things that you're taking that contain vitamin D. So important to look at all of your sources when we're choosing a vitamin D supplement. And a lot of times vitamin D with vitamin K2 can increase absorption. It's better for bone health. So that might be a good option for a lot of people. If you're deficient, sometimes doctors will prescribe vitamin D2 in very large doses to take weekly to help manage that. But again, that's something to talk to your care team about. So vitamin D, another one that might be useful. But I check your levels before you start taking it to make sure you take the right amount.
Okay. That's where the doctors and nutritionists and all that come in.
Absolutely. Right. It's important to have that team paying attention to what you're taking to make sure that you're actually taking something you need for your health, but also for your wallet. No need to spend unnecessarily. Vitamin D is one that there's not a lot of good food sources of it. So that's a supplement that a lot of people take and that can be really useful. Vitamin C, we find in all sorts of food. So if your diet is pretty good, you're probably getting enough. Same thing with zinc. So a lot of people rush out and take zinc supplements this time of year. And this one is one that we absolutely know zinc is part of our immune function. So if you're deficient, which many people are, it can put you at greater risk for having cold and flu or longer duration of cold and flu or greater severity. The important thing with this is it can become toxic, but not only can it become toxic, if we take zinc at too high of a dose or for too long, it can create an imbalance with our copper in our body, which is a trace micronutrient. So we don't need a lot of it, but we can throw that balance off if we're constantly taking a zinc supplement. Same thing with iron. If you're taking iron supplements at the same time, you may not absorb either one of them very well. And if you're somebody who has kind of iron imbalance issues, zinc can disrupt that. So that's an important one that I think always talk to your care team before you start a zinc supplement. Probably not one to just take all the time. They might be able to help you find one that's got zinc and copper that's a better balance as well. And then a couple that are food-based. So we have things like curcumin. Have you heard of that one before?
I have not.
So curcumin is the active ingredient in turmeric. And turmeric is a root that is a lot like, looks a lot like ginger. You can add it to your food, but curcumin is primarily beneficial because it reduces inflammation. Generally pretty safe to take it, but again, talk to your care team, especially if you're on a blood thinner. Elderberry is another big one. You can get supplements or syrup. No research really to show that it's harmful. It's easy. It's tasty to incorporate. So might reduce the duration and severity of colds. So elderberry is something that you could try. And then quercetin is one more that has lots of great emerging evidence for immune support in both illness and allergy. Excess amounts, though, can damage your kidneys. So again, super important to talk to your care team. All of these can impact how your body absorbs medications. It can act differently depending on any health conditions you have. But all of them might be beneficial this cold and flu season.
All right. So don't just get on the internet and decide.
Nope.
Figure it out for yourself.
Absolutely.
Somebody knows what's going on.
Yes. All right. Absolutely.
Good advice. And who could they talk to?
Well, they could certainly contact me. I'd be happy to help them figure that out. And you can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. Or go on Facebook, look up imunutrition, and you'll find me there too.
All right. Or give us a call here at the radio station. We'll steer them your way.
You got it.
All right. Well, Amber, appreciate it. Amber Boyens with Immunutrition with another Taco Tuesday. And we'll be back on the air again next week to talk about another great subject.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Amber.